blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in a painting, mountains dip into a smooth lake. Words appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Lassie in Courage of Lassie in Technicolor. Copyright 1946. Elizabeth Taylor as Kathy Merrick. Frank Morgan as Harry McBain. Tom Drake as Sergeant Smitty. Selena Royale as Mrs. Merrick. Harry Davenport as Judge Payson. George Cleveland as Old Man. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Carrie Danahy and Paula Broussard. Read by Nathan Carlson. More credits. Produced by Robert Sisk. Original screenplay by Lionel Hauser. Co-director of animal sequences, Basil Rangel. Film editor, Conrad A. Nervig. Musical score, Scott Bradley and Bronislaw Kaper. A message. We tender our appreciation to the Office of the Quartermaster General, Army of the United States, for cooperation in parts of this production. More credits. Catherine Frances McLeod as Alice Merrick. Morris Ancrum as Farmer Cruz. Mitchell Lewis as Gil Elson. Jane Green as Mrs. Elson. David Holt as Pete Merrick. William Wallace as Sergeant Mack. Minor Watson as Sheriff Ed Grayson. Donald Curtis as Charlie. Clancy Cooper as Casey. Carl Alfalfa Switzer as First Youth. Conrad Binion as Second Youth. And Lassie as Bill. Directed by Fred M. Wilcox. Now, as the sun peaks from behind a mountain, its reflection shimmers on a tranquil lake below. Evergreen trees line the lake's shores and frame mountains that sit beyond the water. On a grassy bank, ducks and geese flap their wings. Now cattail reeds poke up from marshy water. Dozens of small brown ducks glide toward them in a group. They swim past a white bird perched on a rock. A patch of gray covers the top of its head. Now a brown beaver swims down a swift-moving stream, sticking its nose out of the water. Its soaking wet fur sticks to its long, round body. Now three blue jays perch on a tree branch. Pine needles fan out from the branch's ends. Meanwhile, the soaking wet beaver sits on dry land, licking its paws and rubbing its jowls. Now a gray bunny climbs out of a hollowed-out tree trunk. The bunny has long ears that stick straight up. Now a brown quail hops along the forest floor, which is covered with dry pine needles. The bird has a plume on its small bobbing head. Now a fox with gray fur down its back runs in between two thick tree trunks. It looks around, perking up its ears. A brown squirrel with a bushy tail hops along a log and nibbles on a pine cone. Meanwhile, a porcupine's prickly quills stick out all over its body as it lies down on a rock. The squirrel chews on a seed held in its front paws. Now the gray bunny stands on its hind legs and rubs its nose with its front paws. Now a black and white magpie flies from one branch to the other. Now as a row of bushes rustles, the flock of ducks paddle away, flapping their wings. The bunny hops away as the bushes shake one after the other. The squirrel jumps off its log and dashes up a tree. It clings to the bark with its paws. Meanwhile, the bunny races into a hole dug in the earth. Now a brown and white collie appears from behind the rustling shrubs, followed by a half a dozen puppies. On the lake, a man rows a boat beside the shore. He lifts his hand to his mouth. The boat coasts slowly along the river as he whistles. A raven looks down at the man from its perch in a tree. The man in the rowboat looks up at the bird.
Oh, hold your tongue, you silly old bird.
The old man continues rowing, wearing denim overalls. Meanwhile, the collie stands on a hill overlooking the water. She spots the rowboat. As she walks away, her puppies bound after her. One straggles behind the others, then sets off in a different direction. Meanwhile, the adult collie's long white-tipped tail wags as she steps down a hill to the water. Her puppies follow close behind, darting between two boulders. As the dog and her pups approach the shore, the straggling puppy stops at the two boulders and sniffs at the ground. The black raven lands on one of the rocks and waddles toward the puppy. The pup's ears perk up. The puppy runs away. As he races through a patch of dry grass, he approaches the fox. The two animals sniff at each other. The fox and pup stand nose to nose. They're the same size. As the puppy's tail wags vigorously, the fox's long, bushy tail hangs down to the ground. The puppy chases the fox to a tree where it climbs the limbless trunk. Clinging to the bark, the fox looks down at the pup, who sniffs and scratches at the tree's base. The pup looks to the treetop, anxiously walks in a circle, then runs off. Meanwhile, the mother dog and the rest of her puppies run down a hill toward the lake. The collie turns around and looks back toward the woods, then continues on. On the lake, the old man spots the dogs and turns his boat toward the shore. As he rows quickly toward them, the collie and her pups head to a bank of uneven rock. The little pups sniff at the ground at their mother's feet as she stands waiting patiently. The old man's rowboat reaches the rocks. As he steps to the bow, the collie walks toward him, followed by her pups.
Well, no wonder you ran away.
The old man carefully steps onto the rocks.
Wanted to have your babies all by yourself, didn't you, huh? Mary, aren't you ashamed? Look at you. Aren't I good enough anymore to help you have those puppies? Making me and Mr. Whitney hunt all over half the state of creation for you. Well, you've been away long enough, you have, miss. Don't you know you've got shows to go to and win?
The man puts a puppy in the boat.
Come here, you little dickens. You come over here. Little fella, you're going too.
He chases down another puppy and sets it in the boat next to the first. As he sets down a third, he looks at the collie, Mary.
You're supposed to be a lady, a champion like you.
He runs after another pup and scoops it up into his hands.
You're going too.
Tied to the boat, Mary shifts nervously. Meanwhile, in the woods, her wandering pup cautiously approaches a squirrel. The squirrel turns suddenly and the pup jumps back. He crouches low to the ground and keeps his eyes on the squirrel. Back at the boat, the man unties Mary.
Stay up here 10 miles from nowhere and turn into an outlaw, do you? Come on. Here you get. Come on. Come on.
He lifts her into the boat beside her puppies.
You think you want to stay?
He pushes his boat away from the rocks, then gets in with the dogs. As the boat floats gently away from the shore, the man takes Mary's leash. In the forest, a black frog the size of a grapefruit sits on a rock. The lost pup approaches and licks it. The frog jumps away and the pup follows closely behind. As they reach the edge of a small pool of water, the frog leaps in. The pup curiously sniffs the ground around the water. Out on the lake, the old man continues to row farther and farther away. Mary looks toward the shore. The old man looks over his shoulder at the dogs.
But he didn't want to leave this place at all.
He grimaces at the dog and her pups as they lean over the side and look to shore. The old man shakes his head.
Wrong somewhere.
His withered face scrunches up as he squints ahead. Meanwhile, the stray pup bounds toward the shore. As he reaches the water's edge, he spots the boat moving farther and farther away. The rowboat grows smaller as it heads toward the mountains on the other side of the lake. From a tree branch, the raven looks down on the pup. The dog scurries a little, then looks toward the boat. Later, a pale light shimmers down through thick clouds and reflects on the glassy lake. Mist curls up from the lake's surface. In the woods, a pair of young deer look around and their ears perk up. Nearby, another deer drinks from a small pool of water. Startled, the deer lifts up its head. It looks around with wide eyes, then lowers its mouth back to the water. Now, larger and older, the stray pup steps out from behind a log and scampers off. Later, he approaches the pool of water and drinks. From atop a high boulder, a mountain lion looks down on the collie. The young collie runs off into the woods. The mountain lion watches from the edge of the high rock as the dog bounds through a clearing. Later, the collie perches his front legs on a downed tree trunk. Panting and waving his tail, the pup spots a skunk scampering low to the ground. The collie hops over the tree trunk and approaches the black and white skunk. As he sniffs and paws at it, the skunk lifts its tail in the pup's face. The collie paws at its nose and then races off. Elsewhere, a small waterfall cascades into a rocky stream. The dog swims through the water to a rocky bank. His wet fur clings to his body. Later, the dry collie spots the skunk scurrying along. The pup looks around, then dashes away. Now the fox sniffs around a clearing overlooking the lake. The collie runs up to it, and the two animals sniff and paw at each other playfully. Now twice the size of the sleek fox, the puppy hops over it. As the fox races off, the pup watches with wide eyes. Later, the collie runs into a clearing of tall grass. The collie stops in his tracks and his ears perk up. Ahead, a large leafy bush dotted with red berries shakes. The dog bounds toward the moving plant. Behind the bush, the pup approaches a black bear three times its size. The pup touches his nose to the bear's, then joins in eating berries from the shrub. As the bear picks around the fruit with its teeth, the collie noses a cluster of berries hanging on a low branch. Sunlight shines on the pup's caramel brown coat. White patches mark his neck, chest, and feet. Now the black bear reaches out his thick, light-colored snout for another berry, then ambles off. The pup stares after it, then follows. Later, the bear walks on all fours through a grassy clearing and stops at the slanted trunk of an evergreen tree. As it sniffs around the trunk's base, the collie inspects the ground nearby. An eagle swoops down to a nearby boulder. As the pup trots along with its nose to the ground, the large brown eagle watches, perched majestically on the rock. Above, the raven stands on a small branch. On the ground, the collie pants in the sun. The collie raises its ears and looks around. As the eagle takes flight, the pup bolts. The giant bird swoops down low and skims over him. Nearby, the black bear stands up tall on its hind legs, and the eagle flies away. As the bear gets back on all fours, the collie approaches him. Above, the raven flaps off of his perch on the slender branch. The bear and dog sniff each other's noses. As the raven lands on another branch close by, it looks down on the two friends. The collie's tail wags rapidly. Later, in the stream, the black bear wades in the water, which comes halfway up its legs. The collie looks on from the shore. As the bear touches the surface with its nose, the collie watches attentively. The bear swipes at the shallows and a fish jumps up. Again, the bear bats at the fish with its paw. The fish lands at the pup's feet and flounders on the rocks. The dog sniffs at it. As the bear searches the shallows for more fish, the dog curiously pokes his snout closer to the one on shore. Its flailing tail slaps his nose. The dog backs away from the writhing fish, then cautiously steps toward it again. In the shallow stream, the bear's eyes focus intently on the water. As the collie inches his nose closer to the fish, it flaps wildly and the dog backs off again. Now the bear steps out of the water and runs after the dog, who has the fish in his mouth. The collie sprints past trees with red and yellow leaves and bolts into the forest. The bear follows close behind. Later, as the black bear lumbers through the woods, a collie bounds up to it, wagging his tail excitedly. The bear steps onto a thick, downed tree trunk, which slants upward and makes a ramp onto a tall rock outcropping. The bear easily walks up the log, leaving the collie behind. Halfway up, the bear looks back at the dog, who pants at the base of the fallen tree. The bear continues to climb the thick trunk, and the collie tries to follow. As the bear reaches the top, the dog looks around, then walks off. Nighttime. A bird's eye view of the stream shows its rapidly flowing water as it rushes around jutting rocks. Elsewhere, an owl perches on a tree limb. Its big yellow eyes stare off into the distance, and it spots the collie approaching the edge of the stream. The dog laps up water as he stands on the rocky shore. The dog's ears perk up, and he cautiously steps away from the stream. In the woods, a wolf tilts its head skyward. Now, amid the thick trees and shrubs, the collie circles nervously. The wolf looks down on him from atop a high rock. As the collie heads off, the wolf steps down from his perch and follows. The dog runs through patches of light that shine down through the towering trees. Behind him, the wolf weaves past several shrubs and follows the dog's route. On a leaf-covered trail, the dog races alongside the stream. He reaches a rocky bank and glances behind. At the edge of the swift-moving water, the dog stops for a drink. Meanwhile, the wolf prowls along the leaf-covered path. As he steps between two bushes, he spots the collie on the bank, sitting on a piece of driftwood. The wolf sneaks up from behind. As he scurries the last few feet, the pup drops into the water. The collie floats downstream. The wolf jumps in after him. The dog swims to a small makeshift raft and hops on. He shakes his head and water sprays from his soaking wet fur. The wolf swims after the floating driftwood. As the dog paces on the raft, he slips and almost falls. His damp fur hangs in shaggy clumps. Meanwhile, the wolf swims quickly toward him. The dog nervously walks in circles on the raft. In the water behind him, the wolf's head sticks out above the surface. As the dog's raft floats further down the river, the current grows swift. White swirls form around rocks protruding from the stream. The dog sits still on the raft as it dips in the stream and passes into a stretch of rapids. The wolf struggles to swim in the current. Now the raft angles down another stretch of rapids, and water splashes over the collie. His fur clings to his body. As the stream carries the raft along, the wolf catches up and passes it. The wolf struggles to keep its head above water. As the dog sits calmly on his raft, the current pulls the wolf sideways downstream. The dog stands looking out over the front of the raft and floats safely to shore. He hops off the raft and shakes out his damp fur. Meanwhile, the wolf floats helplessly through raging rapids. Water crashes continuously over its head. Now, safe on dry land, the collie slowly lowers himself to the ground. He gently rests his chin on his front paw and looks off wearily. Daytime. A 14-year-old girl lies on a raft at the edge of the lake. Wearing shorts and a midriff top, she reads a storybook and lazily dips her toe in the water. On shore, a collie hurries across the sand. He spots the girl's jeans lying across a log. A pair of boots sits beside them. He trots over and sticks his head in one of the boots, sniffing it curiously. He takes hold of one with his teeth and walks away. As the girl on the raft intently reads her storybook, the dog comes back for her jeans. The girl looks up and spots the pup dragging them away in his mouth. Gaping, she gets off the raft and runs through knee-high water. Her kicking legs splash up water as she hurries ashore. Now the collie races up a hill overlooking the lake. The girl's jeans are draped over his back. The girl chases after him barefoot and picks her way up the dirt path. As the dog stops, the sparkling-eyed brunette beams at him.
Oh, how'd you get up here?
The dog takes off again. The blue jeans trail on the ground beside him as he runs. The girl hurries after him.
You mustn't steal things.
As the dog reaches the top of the hill, he drops the pants and races off. The girl picks her jeans up and stares after the pup. The collie disappears into the woods. Later, the girl steps slowly through the forest, dressed in blue jeans and a plaid shirt. Elsewhere, a tan-colored fawn with white spots stands amid tall grass. The gangly fawn takes a few steps forward. Its large ears protrude from the top of its small head. Nearby, the collie scampers through the woods. Meanwhile, the girl looks around as she steps past trees and shrubs. Stopping in her tracks, she spots the fawn standing calmly as the dog sniffs at its neck and face. The girl looks on with a stunned smile. As the collie trots off, the girl follows. She stops briefly to look at the fawn, then takes off after the dog. Later, the collie approaches a hollow tree stump filled with water. Above, the raven sits on a nearby tree branch. Spreading its black wings, the raven soars down to the collie and perches on a log beside him. As the collie drinks from the stump water, the raven hops down to his level and takes a drink. Nearby, the girl appears from behind some trees and peers at the two animals. She watches the collie lapping at the water beside the raven, who dips in his beak. Smiling, the girl walks forward. She steps on a thin tree branch. As she stops short, the raven spots her and flies away. The collie follows on foot, and the girl races after them. The collie weaves past bushes and trees, and the girl chases close behind. As the dog disappears into some bushes, two birds fly from its leafy branches. Meanwhile, two teenaged boys, carrying rifles, step into a clearing. One, wearing a red plaid hunting cap, spots more birds flying from the bushes. The boys aim their rifles.
We got something, all right.
A check, maybe.
Maybe. It ain't no dove, though.
As the girl rushes toward the sound of the gunshots, the boys find the pup lying on his side.
Why, heck, it's a pup.
Yeah.
The boy with the plaid cap kneels down and inspects the wound.
Too bad.
You think he'll die?
Yeah, I think so.
The girl runs through the woods. Meanwhile, the boys stand.
no use letting him suffer.
The boy with the plaid cap loads a shell into his shotgun. As he aims at the injured dog, the girl pushes the gun skyward.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Come on, Kathy, get up out of there.
You shot him.
How did we know he was in there?
You think we did it on purpose?
You know this range is closed for hunting.
Come on, go home now. You won't like this, so you better get out of here.
You can't do that. You mustn't. Boy, he's breathing. He might have a chance to get well. You can't shoot him. I won't let you.
Do you want to pack him all the way home? Why, he'll die before you get him across the lake.
Maybe he won't. I'd do anything to make him well. He's such a wonderful dog. There's never been another one like him. He plays with wild animals and a race and tells him what people are...
The boys exchange a skeptical look.
But you wouldn't understand. But this is all my fault because he was running away. I was chasing him. You have to let me take him.
Kathy scoops the limp dog into her arms.
Gosh, if you think that much of him, go ahead and take him.
Sure, go ahead.
Kathy runs off with the dog cradled in her arms. Hurrying through the woods, she struggles to hold on to him. Later, she sits in a small red sailboat. As she holds a long oar like a rudder, Kathy leans down to the dog. The boat's square sail billows out in the wind as Kathy directs the craft toward a small dock. Reaching the dock, she lets down the sail and hurriedly ties up the boat. Now, at a barn, an old man follows a herd of sheep into a pen. As the man closes the gate behind him, Kathy approaches with the wounded collie. The old man steps up to her.
Miss McBain, I found a dog. He's hurt, been shot.
Yes, so he has, child. Well, a mighty pretty little puppy he is, too, full of birdshot. Poor little fella.
Is he hurt awful bad?
I'm afraid he is awful bad.
Kathy follows Mr. McBain into the barn. Inside, the old man cleans the dog's wound.
Well... that's about all I can do for now. Keep him warm, and if I'm here tonight, I'll have another look at him.
Will he live, Mr. McBain?
Well, that's pretty hard to say just now. But I think he has a fair chance. You'll know if he gets up on his feet and starts acting spunky and barking, why, then, maybe.
He will, then. Oh, I know he will.
Kathy leans down to the collie and rests her head on his, then smiles at Mr. McBain.
Thank you, Mr. McBain.
Oh.
Now, in a kitchen, a young woman takes a teapot off the stove.
I wish dishes would do themselves.
I still don't see why we just don't eat off of paper plates and then throw them away like Mr. McBain did.
Oh, Pete, you'll turn us all into hobos yet. Did Kathy eat the soup you took up?
I don't think she's going to eat anything, Mom. She's worrying so over that puppy.
In her bedroom, Kathy stares out the window vacantly. Behind her, the pup sleeps on her bed covered with a quilt. Kathy glances over her shoulder at him. Wearing a nightgown, she steps toward the collie and sits in a chair next to the bed. Her dark curly hair hangs down to her shoulders. She gently caresses the dog's small head in her hands, then rests her cheek on his. Kathy's head perks up and she goes downstairs, where her mother drapes a cloth over a round table.
Mother, I don't want any supper, honest.
You can't go to bed without something warm in your stomach, now that's all, dear.
Upstairs, the pup lifts his head. Kathy races upstairs to her bedroom.
Oh, he said you'd be right if you got up and barked, and you did, you did.
She hugs him. Kathy runs downstairs into the kitchen where her mother, brother, and sister wash dishes.
Mother, he's all right. He's all right.
Oh, he really is. He's even almost able to walk.
Oh, I'm glad, baby.
Oh, it was so awful to think it was all my fault.
Now, come on. Sit down and drink this now.
Her mother sets a bowl of soup on the kitchen table.
Mother, that's the strangest, most wonderful dog. Do you know, I don't think he's ever been around human beings before the way he ran from me. But animals don't run away from him. He He plays with a phone, and a raven talks to him and gives him warning if anybody comes.
A raven and a dog?
Certainly.
Catherine Merrick.
He did so. He and the raven know each other because they drank together. They drank stump water. It's so. I saw it.
You've been lying out on that raft reading too many storybooks again.
Oh, no, Mother, this actually...
Kathy, not dogs and ravens having tea together on stumps now, really. Soup's getting cold.
Yes, Mother. But he is a beautiful dog, isn't he?
He has nice lines, all right, yes.
Well, then, there is one thing, Mother. I've been asking you for a long, long time to give me a sheepdog of my own and a flock, and I've been thinking about it, and I've decided that he's the dog I want. So would you train him for me?
No, dear. Well, he is a pretty pup, but he's a show dog, not a work dog. He's just a pet.
Then you don't think he'd make a good sheepdog?
No, dear, I don't.
Kathy casts her gaze downward and glumly eats her soup. Daytime. Kathy and her pups sail across the lake in her small red boat. Kathy lets down the sail as they coast beside a tree-spotted mountain. On land, Mr. McBain climbs a ladder to the roof of his house. He carries a bucket with him. Meanwhile, Kathy hops out of her boat and ties it to a dock. The dog follows her as she runs down the dock toward Mr. McBain's house. She finds the old man on his roof, pouring water into a metal basin.
Hello, Mr. McBain.
Well, good morning, Catherine. And how's the pup?
Oh, Bill's fine, thank you.
Oh, it's Bill, is it?
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm calling you, until I think of a name for him.
Well, isn't that a name?
Oh, no. That's just what I call him. But he has to have a name. Like Mommy calls me Chubbin, but my name's really Catherine Eleanor Merrick.
Yeah, well, whatever his health is obviously good.
Kathy looks at the basin.
Why, have you got that on the roof?
Oh, that's my water tank for the shower inside the house. You see, it's open and the sun shines on it all day long. Nellie! Bring him in, Nellie!
Mr. McBain looks out over a fenced-in pasture. Inside, a shaggy black dog runs at a flock of sheep. As the sheep move forward in a cluster, Mr. McBain climbs down the ladder and joins Kathy and Bill. Kathy watches as Nellie rounds up the woolly white sheep.
Bane, Bill could be a sheepdog and could help me mind sheep, couldn't he?
Why, sure, but you're a little young yet, and Bill is too. But that isn't to say that you couldn't help before long.
Could I truly?
Why, certainly. My own son, Gary, he was a great help to me when he wasn't much bigger than you are. I just had a letter from him. He's in the army. He's over in the Philippines.
Mr. McBain looks down, fiddling with a piece of straw.
I'm going into church tomorrow. Mrs. Davidson is going to ride me in. Yeah. But I can't take Bill.
Well, that's all right, child. You see, a man goes to church to talk to a God he can't see. But a dog, he can see his God that he loves and talk to him and obey his commands all day long. You're Bill's God. And all he wants is to love you and have you tell him what you want him to do.
You mean I'm really what you said to him?
Yes.
It's a very odd feeling. Someone's God.
You know, I think that Billy is a sheepdog. But come on, we'll find out from Nellie. Nellie knows.
No better than you?
Well, of course, it's the old dog teaches the pup. And if your dog's no good for working sheep, why, Nellie won't have a thing to do with him. Come on, Nellie!
Mr. McBain opens a gate in the split rail fence and Nellie runs past him. He and Kathy watch as the two dogs sit calmly side by side. Bill yawns as Nellie stretches out her front paws and lies down. Kathy smiles.
He's all right then, isn't he?
Well, Nellie says so.
Well then, Mr. McBain, will you train Bill for me?
Well, of course, child, with the greatest of pleasure.
Now Kathy and Mr. McBain stand at the edge of a pasture and watch Nellie and Bill run around a flock of sheep. Bill rounds them up and urges them forward. Kathy turns to Mr. McBain.
Won't it take long to get well taught, Mr. McBain?
Good things always take long.
Now, the cover of a small handmade book reads, My Diary, Catherine Eleanor Merrick. Kathy's hand flips to the first page, which reads, I found a wounded dog today. Mr. McBain said he'll live. The next handwritten page reads, He eats grass. Now Kathy races down a wooded path. Bill follows at her heels. Later, by the lake, Bill stands on a tree stump covered with soap suds. As Kathy lathers up his snout, he resists. Later, a page in her diary reads, He hates baths. Now Kathy and Bill sit under an autumn tree. A poem nailed to its trunk ends with, Believe thy wish is coming true. Another page in the diary reads, I made my wish for Bill today. Later, Kathy stands with Mr. McBain. She motions her arm in front of her with a wide sweep, and Bill rounds up the flock. A new page in her diary reads, My wish came true. Bill is perfect now. Now Kathy lies in bed, propped up on several pillows. Bill rests his head beside her on the mattress. Kathy writes in her diary, Winter is here. I got the measles. Tiny red dots cover her hands and face. She looks up from her diary and glances lovingly at Bill, whose ears perk up. She adds another sentence to her diary. I hope Bill doesn't catch them from me. Glancing back at Bill, Kathy places her pencil inside her diary and closes it. She gently strokes Bill's head, and he raises a paw onto the mattress. His brown eyes look sadly up at Kathy as she scratches behind his ear. Now, small waves ripple on the lake. In the distance, clouds hang above the mountain range. Nighttime. Snow falls outside Kathy's bedroom window. As she turns on her lamp, a warm glow fills the room. She and Bill rush to the window and stare out the frost-edged panes. Outside, sheep join the rest of their flock in the snow-covered corral. Kathy's brother Pete follows in a winter hat and coat and closes the corral's gate behind him. Snow beats down on two small lambs who stand together. Kathy rushes away from the window and starts to change her clothes. Later, she finishes buttoning her shirt and heads toward the stairs.
Come on, Bill.
Now Pete enters the kitchen.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom. Come on, they're lambing already.
I'll be right out. Has Alice got the other flock in?
Yeah, they're coming now, but there's some strays already. I saw them going up the mountain.
Oh, Pete, no.
Yes, ahead of the storm, about 10 of them.
That's going to be a bad loss, but we can't go up there tonight.
Well, do you suppose maybe in the morning?
No, they'll freeze. What stray tonight is lost. Now we'll have our hands full here in the corral. Come on, let's go.
Kathy listens at the kitchen door. She smiles down at Bill and quickly puts on her coat and knit cap. Bill follows her out the door, his tail wagging. Outside, heavy winds blow snow at Kathy and Bill. They rush across the corral and through a gate. Bill stays at Kathy's side as she starts up a snow-covered mountain path. Later, Kathy struggles up a steep, snowy trail. As the wind whips snow at her, she keeps her head down. Bill leads her to a fork in the path. Kathy starts up the steeper of the two trails. On her hands and knees, she inches up the path, shielding her eyes with her arm. Bill follows her up the trail, takes her hand in his mouth, and leads her back down. Kathy makes her way to the fork and turns onto the other path. Later, Bill leads Kathy along a narrow, snowy ledge. As Kathy steps forward, the packed snow gives way, and she falls. She grabs hold of the edge and hangs helplessly.
Bill! Bill!
Bill grabs onto the shoulder of Kathy's coat with his teeth and pulls her back onto the ledge. Kathy gets to her feet, and they continue along the trail side by side. Meanwhile, in the barn, Kathy's mother and sister feed newborn lambs with baby bottles. Outside, Pete crosses the snowy corral grasping a lantern. He joins his mother and sister.
Gosh, they're beautiful.
A black and white lamb sucks on a bottle from the side of his mouth.
And cold and hungry, too.
Come on and help.
Alice looks toward the corral.
There's another one, Mom.
Outside, a small lamb stands alone in the driving snow.
Oh, Pete, get that one over there.
Okay, Mom.
Pete grabs a long staff with a hook at the tip and rushes into the corral. He approaches the flock and scoops up the tiny lamb with one hand. Cradling it in his arm, he heads back to the barn. He joins his mother and sister at a table covered with baby bottles.
Come on, Junior. Let's get some dinner.
Pete tries to get the bottle into the lamb's mouth. Milk streams from the bottle's tip as he presses it against the lamb's snout. The lamb starts to suck on the rubber nipple, and Pete smiles. Now, on the mountain, Kathy holds onto Bill as he leads her up a slope. Kathy starts up a different trail than Bill, then halts. Bill enters a small cove between two boulders and finds a lamb. Kathy heads back toward his barks and scoops up the newborn. Smiling, she steps back into the snow, grasping the lamb. Up ahead, several more sheep and lambs huddle together. Kathy and Bill rush over to them. As Kathy pushes the sheep forward, Bill circles around them. Later, the sheep step slowly along the snowy ledge. Inching along, single file, they pass the gap where Kathy fell. Kathy follows close behind, carrying the little lamb. Bill remains at her side. Now, Pete, Alice, and their mother enter the kitchen.
Boy, breakfast is sure gonna taste good this morning.
Alice, go get Kathy up. She can give us a hand.
Okay, Mother.
As Alice leaves, her mother hangs up her coat.
Well, we've got a long day ahead of us, so this will have to be a quick breakfast.
Kathy's mother heads toward the stove, and Pete sets out plates.
How do you think the little fellas are going to get along?
Well, I've got my fingers crossed, but I think we've done pretty good so far.
All except for the strays, doggone it.
Oh, well, that's money we'll never spend. Never mind, Pete. Nobody could have helped it.
Mother, Kathy isn't in her room. She's gone, and so's Bill.
Gone? Well, where could she have gone?
You don't suppose she went after the strays, do you?
She has been trying to prove she and Bill could handle sheep.
I'll bet she did.
Get your coat on. We're going out to look right now.
Kathy's mother puts on her coat, then glances at the phone on the wall.
If I can get through to Jed's place, he can search on the south side.
Wait a minute, Mother. Listen.
It's Bill.
Pete goes to the window. Outside, Kathy and Bill follow the stray sheep toward the corral. Inside, Kathy's mother hangs up the phone and rushes to the door with Pete and Alice. They run to Kathy as she reaches the corral gate.
Kathy, baby.
Oh. See, Mom, I told you she'd be okay.
He did say that, Mom.
Oh, Kathy, baby, are you all right? You're not hurt?
No.
Gee, Chubby, you certainly had us worried.
I'd better feed these lambs.
You go help him, Alice.
Bill can help, too. Go, Bill. Go.
Come on, Bill.
Kathy smiles brightly as Bill follows Pete. Kathy's mother faces her.
Mother, you're not angry with me for going, are you?
No, darling.
Mother, Bill found the strays and showed me the way back home. He is a good sheepdog, isn't he?
He's the most wonderful one I ever saw. And you're going to have a flock of your own, you and Bill.
Oh, Mother.
Kathy hugs her mother tightly. Powdery snow dusts their jackets. The two head off. Now, sheep graze in a sunny meadow bordered by stately pine trees. Nearby, Kathy watches from the branches of an apple tree, where she munches on a piece of fruit.
Bill, do you know it's Sunday?
On the ground, Bill picks up an apple with his mouth and looks up.
We can't go into church, though. We have work to do.
Bill plays with the apple a bit, then freezes.
The Lord won't mind if we don't go to church today. We're watching his lambs for him.
As Kathy bites into her apple, Bill chomps on a piece of his own. Kathy settles down onto a leafy branch. Elsewhere in the tree, a blackbird picks at an apple with its beak. As Kathy eats more apple, she looks over at the herd of sheep. The flock heads toward the grove of pine trees. Kathy stands, gripping a branch, and leans forward.
Bill, go bring them back. Go, Bill.
The collie sets off. As he nears the herd, the sheep move further toward the trees. The dog runs alongside the sheep, heading them off. Kathy smiles as she watches from the apple tree. Now the sheep trot down a dirt path. As they cross an intersecting road, a large truck cruises toward them. Meanwhile, Bill rounds up five stragglers. As Bill runs across the road, the truck's grill and bumper loom closer. The truck's driver and passenger jump out and rush to Bill, who lies motionless.
Is he dead?
No, but he's busted up plenty.
Poor boy.
Sure is a beautiful dog, Charlie.
Gee, I didn't even see him, Casey. Those sheep were right in front of him. I didn't even see him.
Oh, this dog's hurt bad, Charlie. We got to get him to a vet quick.
We better take him straight into Wilmington and find a vet there.
But what about whoever owns him? Then we better look around here.
We've got time, Casey. He's liable to die. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
Careful.
The two men gently scoop Bill up and carry him off. Meanwhile, Kathy looks out from the apple tree. She stares at the pine trees bordering the empty meadow and then stands and swallows.
Bill!
Kathy's brow furrows and she starts down the tree. Back at the truck, Charlie hops behind the wheel as Casey holds Bill in his lap. As the truck heads off, Kathy jumps down from the apple tree. She rushes off and finds part of the flock. Her worried gaze circles the area and her fingers nervously fidget. Later, she crosses the lake in the red skiff. The little boat rocks on the choppy water. Kathy holds a sail line taut with one hand and grips an oar with the other. She looks out anxiously across the water. As Kathy's gaze scans the shore, the skiff tilts. On land, McBain spots the boat.
Kathy!
The little skiff takes on more water and starts to sink. Kathy falls overboard, then grabs onto the boat's side and pulls herself up. On shore, McBain rushes toward a dock where a small motorboat waits. He unties its line and climbs in. On the lake, Kathy clings to the nearly submerged boat. As McBain sets off, Kathy struggles to stay afloat in the capsizing skiff. She pulls herself up from the water and sees the approaching boat.
McBain!
As Kathy grips the skiff's underside, McBain motors up behind her. He draws close and reaches out to Kathy.
Give me a hand, Captain.
Kathy lets go of the skiff and McBain helps the drenched girl into the motorboat. Her wet hair hangs heavily at the sides of her face.
There we are. Well, we gotta get you covered up. We'll be lucky if you don't get pneumonia out of this.
McBain wraps his jacket around the shivering girl's shoulders, then pull starts the motor. He sits next to Kathy.
My goodness, Kathy, you know better to keep a sail up with a squall blowing like this, don't you?
Yes, I do. But I was in a hurry to get across the cove to look for Bill. He's gone, Mr. McBain.
Oh, you are going to come down with something if we don't get you home in a hurry. What do you mean, gone?
I kept calling him, and I went down to where the flock was. He just disappeared. I took the sheep home. I've been looking for days. Nothing would ever make Bill leave me of his own doing.
Oh, of course not.
So something must have happened to him.
Oh, no, now, don't do that. You haven't seen anything happen.
I know, but...
Well, you just hang on to that hope.
But how do you make hope happen?
Well, suppose we figure it out the way it might have happened. You know as well as I do that no animal around here could take Bill away without you hearing plenty, isn't that so? All right. And if anything else happened except one thing, why, you'd have found him.
What one thing?
Stolen. Yes, sir, I've known it to happen. Why, and particularly with a dog like Bill. But if anybody liked him that much, he'd take good care of him, wouldn't he? So that's nothing to be afraid about, is it? And knowing Bill, the first chance he gets, he'll break loose and come galloping back to you as fast as he can, won't he? Well, golly, that's the way it looks to me. Seems that way to you too, doesn't it?
Later, in town, a sign on a storefront reads, Dr. Coleman's Dog and Cat Hospital. Inside, Coleman approaches a row of dog cages.
Hiya, Billy.
He gives one dog a treat.
Patsy?
He greets a Dalmatian, then faces Bill.
Hello, boy. Cheer up. Maybe we'll find who you belong to one of these days.
Bill gazes off sadly as the doctor strides away. A sign on his cage reads, Unknown Name, Unknown Owner. Inside the pen, Bill lies down and rests his snout on his paws. Later, the doctor holds a spaniel puppy as an army officer checks a list.
Only six this time. Some of the people who promised us dogs, you know how it is, last minute change your heart. There's no collie on here. Thought I saw a beauty out there.
Oh, him. Truck driver brought him in 2 months ago, bummed up.
Okay, now. Tried and tried to find an owner, advertised even, no luck. He is a beauty, all right. I'm going to keep him myself.
And us short of our quota here?
Coleman's smile fades.
Oh, now, look, Tom, that's the swellest dog I've come on to.
Tom's unblinking gaze stays pinned on the vet.
Okay, we can use him, Joey, believe me.
As the officer leaves, Coleman playfully cuddles the Cocker Spaniel puppy. Now at an army base, a guard stands near a sign that reads, War Dog Reception and Training Center. Soldiers in the back of a horse-drawn wagon hand out dishes of dog food from crates as they ride past rows of doghouses. Other soldiers in fatigues carry the food to each dog, and the animals eat. A boyish sergeant brings a dish to Bill, who lies in the doorway of his square plywood house. The man pets Bill.
Come on out, Duke. Here's your grub. Come on.
Bill turns his head away, and the soldier sets down the dish.
What's the matter, Duke? There's nothing to worry about.
Later, at the vet's,
take it easy, Duke. Easy.
The sergeant holds Bill on a table as a vet lifts the dog's ear and takes up a tattoo needle.
Steady, steady, boy.
On the inside of Bill's ear, the doctor writes 688X8 in blue ink. The sergeant pats Bill affectionately.
Swear I'd seen him or his sire or his dam at a show someplace.
I wouldn't doubt it, sir.
Now that didn't hurt, did it, Duke?
The doctor unties a rope muzzle and Bill sits up.
I don't know a civilian name, so I can just call him Duke.
Well, cheer up, Duke. The world's not such a solemn place.
Oh, he's not solemn, sir. It's just that he has something on his mind. He's trying to tell me about it, haven't you, Duke? Come on, tell me, what is it, boy? Huh?
Bill rests his paw gently on the sergeant's arm.
Come on, Duke.
Later,
you,
dogs and soldiers encircle a trainer.
This morning we will continue with the basic exercises consisting of heel, sit, down, and stay. Detailed. Hey, hut. Right. Hey.
Each soldier stands partnered with a dog.
Now give your dogs a sit. Move.
Sit.
The sergeant tugs Bill's leash and Bill sits.
Now give your dogs a down. Move!
Down. Down.
The sergeant tugs again and Bill lies down.
Now give your dogs a sit. Move!
Sit.
Later, the soldiers crouch beside their dogs.
Send your dog!
Report!
The soldiers point and their dogs navigate an obstacle course. Bill jumps a hurdle and runs up and over an A-framed barrier. Now he crawls through a tunnel of barbed wire, then climbs up a ladder, rung by rung. A thick collar with a message holder is fastened around his neck. Bill reaches the top of the ladder, then descends a long plank on the other side. The sergeant's training partner pats the dog's furry coat.
Atta boy. Now that wasn't so hard, was it, huh?
No. He picks up the dog's leash. Later, he sends Bill off into a field.
Report!
Amid explosions, Bill dashes alongside other dogs. He leaps over a ditch, then heads up a slope. A German shepherd dodges falling dirt from a blast. At the head of the pack, Bill jumps another ditch, and a shell discharges behind him just as he lands. The sergeant waits for him.
Come on, Duke. Come on, boy.
Atta boy. Come on, fella. Atta boy. Come on.
He puts a leash on Bill as the squirming dog wags his tail. Now at a dock, soldiers carrying duffel bags and rifles file up a gangplank onto a ship. Their dogs walk next to them. Bill and Sergeant Smith move in line.
Holcomb, Herbert. Weems. Burton. Dee. Fred. Mayon.
George.
Smith.
Thomas.
McDonald.
William.
Cirillo.
Tony.
Convoy.
Jimmy.
Now a dozen battleships move across open water. Dark clouds hang in the sky. On one ship's deck, Smith sits on a stack of crates as Bill rests his chin on the sergeant's knee. The restless dog rises to his feet and paces. Smith tugs his leash as the dog shifts nervously.
Hey, what's bothering you, huh?
Now Kathy's eyes flutter open as she lies in bed. She sits up and glances around her room, her mouth lifting in a faint smile. She pulls back the covers and goes to the open window. Kneeling down, she rests her elbows on the sill and looks outside. As her lips mouth Bill's name, she gazes around hopefully. Slowly, her smile fades. Kathy rises to her feet and returns to bed. Back on the ship, Bill continues to pace on the crate as Smith watches.
Hey, what's the matter with you? Come on, down. Down, boy. Hey, what's bothering you, huh?
The dog gazes off. Later, the soldiers meet on deck.
Now you hear that. Now you hear that. You have been designated a combat patrol. And in a few hours, you will land on Red Beach 5. Your officers and non-coms have been thoroughly briefed in these operations. As you may have heard, men, this is the Aleutians. So keep your mittens on.
Now on land, soldiers trudge through mud near a vertical rock face. Three GIs wait in a jeep as a fourth stands still nearby. On his leash, Bill labors through the ankle-deep mud as Smith tramps alongside in a long coat, helmet, and combat boots. Wearing rain gear, the soldiers tote rifles and bulging backpacks. Now a GI approaches two officers.
Combat patrol ready, sir.
Okay, Sergeant. We'll be with you in a minute.
Yes, sir.
The officers confer.
The main thing I want you to find out is where they're dug in up there. And let us know in a hurry.
Right.
Your identification is Group 4. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
The younger officer heads over to a group of waiting GIs.
We'll take the dog and you along this time, Mac.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's go, men.
Smith's training partner takes Bill's leash. The two men and their dog move out with the patrol. Later.
Come on, Coach.
Well, the best for you, Mac. I'll be waiting for you at the CP.
Okay, Smitty. I'll be seeing you.
Let's go.
Smith hands the leash over to his partner, Mac, then goes. Bill and Mac start off through the mud. Later, the patrol makes its way up a steep mountainside. Thick fog hangs in the air. In a cave, a soldier talks into a radio.
CP to Battery C. Correct range. Correct range.
Have you heard anything from Group 4 yet?
Yeah, they're okay so far. CP to Battery C.
Back on the mountain, Bill makes his way up the steep rock face alongside the other soldiers. He jumps from rock to rock. Holding Bill's leash, Mac climbs higher. Another soldier helps Mac up onto a narrow ledge as Bill waits just below him. As gunfire sparks on the rock, Bill races up the steep incline. Mac and the dog take shelter on a ledge. As Mac crouches down and holds one arm over Bill, a shell explodes nearby. Bits of rock rain down. Now the patrol continues climbing. As Bill clambers up the rock, a soldier talks into a field radio.
Group 4 to CP. Group 4 to CP. Encountered enemy fire.
We're going forward to take Hill H, sir. There's a batch of Jap mortars and machine guns on the left side of us.
A blast launches the soldier off the ledge. As smoke from the explosion hangs in the air, more GIs scale the cliff. Elsewhere on the mountain, an officer waves soldiers carrying ammo and gear through a narrow passage.
Set up that gun right there. Cover our right flank.
The soldiers move into position. Mac nudges Bill. As Mac readies his rifle, two other GIs crouch behind a machine gun mounted on a tripod. Now Mac surveys his surroundings from behind a boulder. Bill sits at his side. Behind them, a medic dabs sulfur powder on an injured man's face. Mac turns to the medic.
Maybe we can move up to the left, sir. Not to the left or right. They're on all sides of us, Mac. You've got to see right here and sweat it out.
Mac pulls Bill close as fragments of blasted rock shower the area. Bill glances up at Mac. The dog's snout is smeared with dirt and his coat is matted with mud.
Okay, dude, take it easy, boy.
Mac's hand gives Bill an affectionate ruffle on the back of the neck. Later, flashes of orange light go off as they wait behind the boulder. In a nearby crevice, explosions send soldiers toppling. Mac leans protectively over Bill, shielding the dog from the rocky fallout. A GI approaches Mac.
There goes our ammunition dump, Mac.
Oh, brother, what do we got left, sir?
About 50 rounds apiece and a few grenades.
We can't throw a party with that.
Mac, we gotta throw a party when those yellow bellies come in here. Got to.
We'll have to send the dog.
He writes a note. 1405, May 43, surrounded, send help. Mac takes out Bill's message collar, opens the slim leather canister, and slips the paper inside. He pulls off Bill's regular collar and slides on the new one.
This is your big chance. All right, fella.
Send him along, Mac.
Smitty wants you, boy. All right, report!
Mac points and Bill heads off. As soldiers fire, the collie makes his way out of the narrow rock passage. Mac and his fellow GI gaze anxiously after the departing dog.
Well, there goes the difference.
You're not kidding.
As Bill bounds over the slick rock, a dozen soldiers watch him go.
Either he gets through or we don't.
Hazy light gleams on the soldiers' steel pot helmets. Elsewhere, Bill runs across muddy ground. Shells explode all around him. Dodging bullets, he moves down the side of a mountain, then follows a narrow ledge. A bullet grazes him. The collar dangles loose and falls into a crevice as he continues on. Bill makes his way from rock to rock, scurries down a slope, then nears a rushing stream. Scruffy bushes sprout at the water's edge. Reaching the bank, the muddy dog crouches near a bush and dips his paw into the dark water. He leaps into the shallow stream and wades through the chest-high water. Reaching the opposite bank, he crouches low. Now Bill crawls through tall brown grass. Flashes of gunfire burst around him as he moves through the brush. He rolls onto his side. He cycles his paws frantically in the grass. Mustering his strength, Bill rolls back onto his belly and creeps forward. Later, he lopes down a muddy path. Thick fog hangs in the air and rises from the soggy earth. The exhausted dog picks his way slowly through the mud, his fur caked with dirt. His paws sink into the ground with each step. As he pauses a moment, his ears droop and his head hangs low. He limps on. Each step is labored and slow. Now Bill's sides and legs drip with blackish mud as he plods on. The muddy fur hangs heavily from his frame and dangles from his underbelly. A thin line of bright, ruddy brown fur remains unsoiled along his back and behind his head. As his paws sink in the mud with each step, Bill edges slowly beside clumps of brown grass. His steps grow weaker and weaker, and his head bows with exhaustion. Bill hesitates. Slowly, he lowers himself onto a patch of muddy grass and lies down on the soft earth. Nearby, at the soldiers' base camp, a GI stands guard. He paces, keeping one hand on the rifle strap slung over his shoulder. As two soldiers disappear into the cave, the guard surveys the area. His gaze freezes on the motionless dog lying in the mud. The man runs over to Bill, looks him over, and rushes back toward the cave.
Hey, Smitty! Smitty, a dog's in! Over here!
Smitty runs to Bill. The dog lifts his head weakly.
Oh, Duke, you made it!
Now the senior officer arrives with more soldiers. He joins the others crouched around Bill.
Well, he made it, sir. We'll find Group 4 now.
Well, let's have it. Come on, let's have the message.
Well, there isn't any, sir. It's been shot away. He's wounded.
Smitty sprinkles sulfur powder on Bill's wounded neck. The officer gazes down at the sergeant and the dog.
Well, that's that, I guess. He certainly can't tell us where they are.
Well, maybe he can, sir.
What do you mean?
I think maybe I can get him to lead us back.
That dog? Why, he can't even stand up.
Oh, he can do a lot for me, sir. Shall I try?
I'd sure give my right arm if he could, though. Go ahead and try.
Yes, sir.
Smitty removes his rifle, then lifts Bill's head. He gazes gently into the dog's eyes.
Come on, Duke. You gotta do this for me. Please.
As the other soldiers watch, Smitty backs a few feet away from the listless dog, then crouches on one knee.
Duke? Duke, report! Report!
Bill lifts his head feebly, then lowers it back to the ground.
Come on, Duke. Come on, boy.
The dog's head rises again, then eases back down.
Report!
Bill's tired eyes watch Smitty.
Gotta do this for your buddies. Come on, Duke.
As Bill sits up a little farther, the officer's watchful gaze flits between Smitty and the dog.
Come on, boy.
Bill stretches out his paw and strains to rise.
Report!
As the dog gets up on his wobbly legs, Smitty gives a hopeful smile.
Come on, Duke.
Bill takes a few faltering steps. His matted fur is coated with dried mud. As Bill walks slowly into Smitty's waiting hands, the officer grins broadly. The other men look on, beaming. Later, Bill leads the group of soldiers through the mud. As the exhausted dog takes shaky step after step, Smitty and the platoon follow close behind. Smitty keeps his eyes on Bill as the dog plods forward. The soldiers trudge behind, following Bill's slow gait. Bill slows to a stop in front of a large rock at the base of an incline. As the dog hesitates, Smitty adjusts his rifle strap and steps up onto the rock. He crouches down and faces Bill.
Report!
Bill rests his two front paws on the rock, then struggles up, taking wobbly steps. As he ascends, the soldiers join him, walking up the rock in their heavy combat boots and fatigues. Some of the men have fur collars on their jackets. Later, Bill lumbers through more mud. Red streaks stain the white fur around his neck. Later, Bill moves up onto a craggy bluff as soldiers crawl alertly behind him. The dog takes a few steps forward, then settles onto his belly. Smitty scoots up alongside Bill and gently ruffles the dog's fur.
Come on, Duke, you can make it. You can make it, boy. Come on, Duke. Report!
The other platoon members watch Bill soberly.
Report!
Bill manages to get back on his feet and starts off again. The soldiers advance. Some scurry along the bluff. Others climb onto a nearby ledge. Crouching low, they approach a wall of steep rock. The men move single file through a narrow gap and scale the rock face. Now, with a trapped platoon, exploding shells flash. A soldier rouses Mac as he dozes against a boulder.
Hey, Mac! Look!
The soldier points. Below, Bill leads the reinforcements.
Hey, man! He made it!
Great for you, Duke.
Five of the men smile as they watch the soldiers approach. Back with Smitty, Bill flinches.
Duke, you made it. You made it, boy. We found him and you did it. What's the matter, Duke?
Bill bares his teeth. Bill steps away from Smitty, then looks back and hesitates.
Duke! Come here, boy.
Don't crack up now, boy.
What's the matter? Don't you know me? What's the matter, fella?
Smitty remains still under Bill's suspicious gaze. Nighttime. Several ships move across the sea. On board one, Smitty and a lanky soldier stand between crate-like cages as they each ladle food into a tin dish. The lanky guy feeds a German shepherd.
Here you are, fella. Try that.
Smitty fills another dish, then sets the food inside a cage. The lanky soldier fills another dish.
Everybody eating again?
Yeah.
Yeah. All except him.
Yeah. Bill looks out from a cage. The lanky guy sets food before an uncaged dog, then faces Bill.
It's their eyes that gets me when they look like that. Some fellas down at sick bay got that same look. You know? Don't care about nothing. Don't know nothing. Nothing matters. Get you, don't it?
Well, war's war.
I don't know how you can take it so calm. You're a cold-blooded monkey, I think, Smith.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Not me.
He heads to the door.
Gets me.
As the soldier leaves, Smitty grabs another dish and looks at Bill.
Got some good grub for you, Duke.
He fills a dish, then goes to Bill's cage.
Come on now, Dukey, you gotta eat this fella.
He opens the cage, sets the dish inside, then latches the door. Smitty gazes inside.
Come on, Duke, try and eat this, huh?
The dog bares his teeth. He stares warily at Smitty through the cage door.
Listen, Duke, I can't go back to the hospital with you because I gotta go back and train some men. But they're gonna help you there. Now, you don't want to be afraid.
You remember me, don't you? Huh?
Smitty gazes sadly at the snarling dog, then looks off. He takes another look at Bill, then taps his fingers on the cage as he rises to his feet. Now, on a dock, soldiers and dogs debark from the ship. Men in uniform carry the crate-like cages down a gangplank. Others walk with dogs on leashes. Now on a train, two soldiers ride in a car loaded with several dog cages. One private sweeps dust out through a side door. The other, wearing a floppy-brimmed hat, rubs his chin as he stares at the dog cages. He shakes his head. In one cage, Bill lies on his side. His paws motion through the air. In a flashback, Bill runs down a muddy path as shells explode around him. Back in the cage, he gets up, shakes his coat, and paws at the cage door.
Boy, he's a bad hombre. Thinks the world's his enemy.
And I thought he was going to have a good long sleep.
You're whistling, that's what upset him.
The private in the hat grabs a leash lying nearby and opens Bill's cage. He fixes the leash to Bill's collar and leads the dog out.
Come on, fella, let's get out of here.
Bill thrashes about. The private holds him still.
Time I paid some more attention to you anyway, isn't it?
Bill calms down and the private strokes the dog's clean, fluffy coat.
Better get the muzzle.
The other soldier hands him a syringe.
Poor guy, he must have taken plenty.
As he raises the needle, Bill jerks free. Before the man can grab him, he jumps off the train and runs into the woods.
Holy smoke.
Well, he's gone. 40 miles from nowhere out here. What are we going to do now?
Nothing. Nothing we can do. Heaven help anything he runs into. Condition he's in.
So long, soldier.
The two soldiers stare out the open door. Daytime. Bill runs down a country path past tall trees. He slows as he arrives at a crossroads, then stops a few feet along one of the paths. Panting, he looks anxiously from side to side. He heads into a clearing, and his gaze scans the grassy knoll. He trots on. Up ahead, boulders sit clustered under two tall pine trees. Standing atop one boulder, Bill looks out over a tranquil blue lake bordered by mountains. Above it, fluffy white clouds fill the sky. Bill makes his way down from the highest boulder, picks his way across the rocks and continues down another path. Before him, tall evergreens reach into the sky and sunlight falls across the dusty trail. Nighttime. The lake glows faintly in the distance as Bill bounds across some moonlit clearing. He comes to a farm. He eyes a chicken coop. Inside, the birds flap nervously. Suddenly, Bill runs away from the coop, a dead chicken clenched in his jaws. Later, a teenaged boy approaches a man cleaning traps.
A coyote just bit Spot and hurt him. And Spot ran away. Then the coyote stole a piece of your venison that's hanging in the shed and took off with it.
As the two step forward, they see Bill absconding with a piece of meat.
Well, that's no coyote. It's a dog.
Bill squeezes under a rickety gate and runs off. Later, by a stream, he chews on a meaty bone. Later still, a man runs toward a sheep pen carrying a shotgun. The sheep scatter as Bill jumps through a split rail fence and races off. Now the farmer checks his flock, holding his shotgun ready. A plump, gray-haired woman follows. She holds a shawl around herself as she runs toward the pen. Looking briefly over a fence rail, she turns to the farmer.
Oh, Gil, what is it?
Same dog got into Curlew's and Martin's places last week. Just turned killer, I guess. Been raiding every place around here.
The farmer and his wife head off. Now carrying shotguns, the sheep farmer walks with a trapper and his son. As the three look around, the boy grabs his father's arm.
Pa, down there!
His father aims his gun. Bill runs past a sheep pen. The collie heads into a wooded area and the three men follow. Wearing a red flannel shirt, the trapper leads them. His son follows and the sheep farmer brings up the rear. Now, as Bill passes under a tree covered with brilliant yellow leaves, the two farmers and the boy cross the grassy knoll overlooking the lake. Now the men gain on the dog. Bill hurries over a footbridge spanning a stream. As the three pursuers run up, the boy spots Bill, and the two men raise their guns.
Grandpa?
They resume the chase. Up ahead, Bill looks back and bares his teeth. Bill takes off down a hill, and the men rush after him. Now, in a wooden shelter with open sides, Kathy sits gazing off by the lake. The girl looks up and sees Bill run by. Her face brightens and she smiles. Now her gaze lands on the three men who emerge with their shotguns.
There he goes.
As they set off again, Kathy's smile fades. She runs after Bill, taking up the chase in front of the men. As Bill cuts across a frosty glade, Kathy follows. The men appear in the distance. They jog closer, gripping their shotguns with both hands. Now Bill rounds a curve up a hill. He stops, looks back, and bares his teeth. Bill darts down a steep slope, trots under a fallen tree, and heads into a cave. Inside, branches and leaves cover the floor. At the cave's back wall, Bill turns and faces the entrance. Outside, Kathy arrives. She looks around, then spots the cave. Inside, she stops and stands in the dim light.
Bill!
The dog lowers his head warily.
Shh, quiet. Can I hear you, Bill?
Kathy jogs partway up the slope that leads into the cave. She peeks outside. The three men come up around the bend and look around. As Kathy backs slowly into the shadows, the men run past the cave and head into the forest. Kathy's tense shoulders settle. She turns to Bill and walks toward him, smiling. Kathy stares at the snarling dog, her eyes fill with tears.
Don't you remember me anymore, Bill?
She edges toward him, taking slow steps. Bill bares his teeth. Kathy's eyes widen with fear as he charges at her. Fleeing, Kathy trips on a fallen branch and hits her head on a rock. Bill stares down at the unconscious girl, his mouth fixed in an angry snarl. Suddenly, he runs over and nudges her neck. He gently nips at her jacket and touches her shoulder with his paw. Kathy lies motionless, her head resting on the rock. Bill backs away and paces in a circle. The collie approaches Kathy again and tugs on her jacket collar with his teeth. Letting go of it, he stares at the girl's peaceful face, lies down on the ground and scoots close to her. He gently rests his snout and paw on the crook of her neck. Bill licks her cheek and then closes his eyes. Now Kathy's chest rises and falls. As her breath returns, her eyes flutter. She stirs awake and rubs her head. Bill nudges in closer, moving his snout just under Kathy's chin. The girl opens her eyes, then turns her head and sits up. Facing Bill, she gazes at his panting face, strokes his fur, and grins. She hugs him.
Oh.
She squeezes his thick fur.
Oh.
Later, on the lake, Kathy and Bill ride side by side in the red skiff with its lone sail. Kathy sits at the stern and guides the boat with an oar. On shore, Mr. McBain waves to the pair as he pulls freshly caught fish from a bucket. He wipes his hands on a towel, then walks to the dock. As the old man approaches, Kathy lets down the sail and steps onto the dock with Bill. Mr. McBain meets them and pats Bill affectionately. Kathy ties the boat to a post.
Hello, Mr. McBain.
Hello, Kathy. Well, you and Bill have a nice sail?
Oh, yes, we went for miles.
Ah, that's fine.
The three walk back to shore, stepping down a thin plank that connects the dock to the land.
Mr. McBain, it's awfully nice of you to keep Bill here for me.
Oh, not at all, child. I was glad to do it. Well, you better get Bill on into the house now. It's about time you were hurrying home.
Come, Bill.
As Kathy runs off with Bill toward the cabin, McBain notices a motorboat approaching on the lake. His brow furrows and his gaze shifts from his cabin to the arriving boat. He walks back out into the dock. Two men on board the motorboat greet McBain as they dock. One wears a wide-brimmed hat and the other a red plaid shirt.
Hello, Sheriff.
Hello, Harry.
Hello, Perry.
Hello, McBay.
Well, I'm happy to see you, gentlemen. That is, if this is just a social visit.
Well, not quite, Harry. We've been cruising around looking for a vicious dog that's been raiding the ranches lately.
A big collie, like the one that belonged to the Merrick girl. Remember him?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember him.
Well, he must be around here someplace.
Got an order from Judge Payson to destroy him.
Yeah, well, have you looked at the chicken ranches and places across the lake?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't seen him around here, have you, Harry?
As McBain looks downward, Kathy runs out.
Mr. McBain!
Kathy slows as she sees the men. Bill looks out a cabin window. On the dock, the two men turn. The farmer in red plaid points.
That's him. That's the dog.
Kathy's gaze shifts sadly from Bill to the dock. The men cross the plank to shore.
That dog's not vicious. I'll swear to that.
You've got 3 days legally to protest this order if you want to. I'm sorry, Harry. I'll have to take the dog in.
As the farmer and the sheriff head to the cabin, Mr. McBain stays behind with Kathy. McBain puts his hand on Kathy's shoulder and gently squeezes it. Kathy turns to him.
Oh, Mr. McBain.
She leans her head against the old man's chest, and McBain pats her back as she cries. Now in a courtroom, Bill wears a muzzle.
Next complainant, Ernie Elson. Raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Sure do.
Sit down. RFD 7, Oak Township. Now, Ernie, I want you to look around the courtroom and see if the animal that raided your livestock is here.
The sheep farmer looks at Bill.
Yes, sir. That's him right there.
Now, Ernie, a lot of animals look alike. Now, take your time and figure it out. Well, is there any doubt that this is the one?
No, sir, none.
All right, that's all. Stand down. Next complainant, Perry Crude. Perry, you better take a stand.
The trapper gets up. Kathy sits nearby with her mother and Mr. McBain.
Raise your right hand. Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Sit down. Now, I'm not going to bother with all the questions. Everybody knows you're Perry Crews, what your RFD is, and how many sheep you raise. Now, Perry, you claim that this dog is the one that raided your place?
I certainly do. 5 different times and no doubts about it.
Any particulars you want to add to the complaint?
No, nothing much. Except that dog's just plain not good for anything, Steve. He's got bad blood, and there's only one thing you can do with it.
No opinions, Perry. You give the facts. I'll draw the conclusions. That's all. You can stand down. Any other complainants I haven't questioned yet? Well, let's see. Counting them over, it seems to be 1, 2, 3, 4. 15 people saw this dog causing trouble. You want to question any of them?
McBain shakes his head.
No, sir.
All right. I'll hear the other side of this after lunch. 2-hour recess.
As the elderly judge leaves the bench, Kathy stands up. She wears a yellow dress with a frilly pinafore. Working her hands nervously, she steps forward. As the judge nears the door to his chambers, Kathy grabs his arm.
Judge Payson, I don't have to swear with the Bible to ask you something, do I?
Why, of course not, Kathy. What is it?
When you decide what to do, can you only decide on what people saw?
That's the law, Kathy.
But there's other things that count, too. Things you know are true, even if nobody saw them. Things you feel inside are true, and they are.
Now, you go right back to your ma. I don't want you to pop another question at me. Do you hear? I don't want to hear even another word. You don't know how hard it is to be impartial.
But,
now,
Judge, if you would...
I don't want to hear even one word. Do you understand?
Judge Payton rests his hand on Kathy's shoulder, and she bows her head.
Yes, sir.
That's a good girl.
The judge disappears into his chambers. Kathy stays behind in the courtroom. She rests her hand on the door molding and looks down sadly. Her mouth quivers and her eyes glisten. As a tear rolls down her cheek, she glances back at Bill, who looks up, wearing a muzzle. He starts forward, then stops, restrained by his leash. Kathy walks over. Behind her, a clerk sits with the dog's leash in hand. Kathy crouches down next to Bill and hugs him tightly. She buries her face in his fur. Her fingers clutch his furry coat. Nearby, Mr. McBain helps Kathy's mother put on her jacket. McBain fidgets with his hat.
I think it'd be better if Kathy didn't come back.
So you think he'll decide against us?
But I think it'd be much better if you and Kathy didn't come back again. We can't deny the evidence.
The two look sadly across the courtroom. On the floor in front of the bench, Kathy lets go of Bill and rises to her feet. As Bill starts to walk off with her, the clerk tugs him back. Kathy joins her mother.
Well, let's go get some lunch, huh?
Yes, I'll be along in a minute.
As Kathy and her mother move away, Bill paws at the floor. Kathy leaves the courtroom arm in arm with her mother. On the way out, she glances longingly over her shoulder. Mr. McBain watches them leave, then turns to the collie, who continues to paw at the floor. McBain sets his hat on a table. As he takes a seat, the dog nuzzles between his knees and also sits. The old shepherd pets the dog's fur, then cradles Bill's face in his hands.
I don't understand. Why did you do those things?
As the old man rubs Bill's ears, his gaze freezes. He inspects Bill's left ear closely. On the skin, he finds the tattoo, 688X8. He takes his glasses out of a breast pocket, pulls out an envelope and pen, and copies down the numbers. Bill sits calmly, and McBain pats his head. The elderly man rises to his feet, grabs his hat, and quickly walks out. Later, in the full courtroom, McBain talks to Judge Payton.
Steve, Your Honor, we've got something to say in this case, if it's all right.
Sure, Harry, go ahead.
You'll probably say that what I tell you has nothing to do with this dog's crimes, that he's guilty. But he can't speak for himself. He can't explain why he did them like a man could, so somebody has to speak for him. What I'm trying to tell you, Your Honor, and my good neighbors, is that this is no ordinary dog.
You bet not. He's a menace.
Order. Begging your pardon, madam, he's a soldier. At noontime today, I found that he had an Army identification number stamped in his ear. Yeah, you can see it here for yourself.
McBain lifts Bill's furry ear, and the clerk takes a look.
Yep, he's got the Army number, all right.
So I called the Army War Dog Training Center, and I got Bill's record from the lieutenant there. And here it is.
He puts on his glasses.
A year ago, last October 11th, he was accepted by the Army, trained and attached to a combat unit. On September 11th, overseas, he was cited for conspicuous bravery in an action in which he saved an advanced platoon of men from the Japs. He was sent home September 25th, suffering from complete exhaustion. After leaving Seattle, he escaped from the soldiers who were bringing him to an Army rehabilitation hospital. Well, that's it. Something, some instinct led him to Kathy, who had brought him up from a puppy and who he knew loved him as much as he loved her. This letter that I made my notes on is from my boy, Gary. He's in an Army hospital in New York. And from what he writes, I guess that he's going through something like what Bill here went through. And it just occurred to me that perhaps a lot of our boys will be coming back, not quite ready to take up where they left off. They'll have gone through more than most of us could ever think of. And they're going to need patience and love and understanding from us. And most of all, perhaps they'll need time. You know, they didn't become soldiers in a day, and we can't expect them to become civilians in a day either. And Bill here, he went through the fight too. And he's no less a soldier because he can't talk. But he found a big love and a big understanding from a little girl. And he's come through his bad time. Your Honor, I know dogs. And I can swear to you that Bill here is a good citizen now. And so I ask you, on his record as a first-class soldier, to give him a break. Let me take him back to the little girl who is his God and who loves him so much. Your Honor, good neighbors, he's earned it.
Well, Harry,
you'd better take Bill home. Case dismissed.
As townspeople leave the courtroom, Mr. McBain removes Bill's muzzle and unhooks his leash. The old man greets a couple, then smiles at Bill.
Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill.
The happy dog follows him out of the courtroom. A woman leans down and pats the collie as he passes. They head out the front door and descend steps to the street. Bill walks cheerfully by Mr. McBain's side. The dog's tail wags excitedly.
Well, Bill, go find Kathy.
Mr. McBain watches Bill run off down the street. Now, still in her pinafore dress, Kathy lies in the shade under a tree, her face buried in her hands. Bill nuzzles her from behind. Kathy sits up and pulls Bill close, caressing his fur. He touches his nose to her chin. As she clings to him, tears glisten on her smooth cheeks. The dog licks her face, and Kathy beams as she holds him tightly. Fade to black. A title appears over a glassy lake bordered by mountains. The end.